chapter 20. Then follows the book of Leviticus, in which the precepts bearing upon sacrifice are set forth. Commandments also are added to the law formerly given, and almost the whole is full of instructions connected with the priests. If anyone wishes to become acquainted with these, he will obtain fuller information from that source. For we, keeping within the limits of the work undertaken, touch upon the history only. The tribe of Levi, then, being set apart for the priesthood, the rest of the tribes were numbered, and were found to amount to 603,500 persons. 1. When, therefore, the people made use of the manna for food, as we have related above, even amid so many and so great kindnesses of God, showing themselves, as ever, ungrateful, they longed after the worthless vines to which they had been accustomed in Egypt. Then the Lord brought an enormous supply of quails into the camp, and as they were eagerly tearing these to pieces, as soon as their lips touched the flesh, they perished. There was indeed on that day a great destruction in the camp, so that 23,000 men are said to have died. Thus the people were punished by the very food which they desired. Thence the company went forward, and came to Pharaoh, and Moses was instructed by the Lord that the land was now near, the possession of which the Lord had promised them. Spies, accordingly, having been sent into it, they report that it was a land blessed with all abundance, but that the nations were powerful, and the towns fortified with immense walls. When this was made known to the people, fear seized the minds of all, and to such a pitch of wickedness did they come, that, despising the authority of Moses, they prepared to appoint for themselves a leader, under whose guidance they might return to Egypt. Then Joshua and Caleb, who had been of the number of the spies, rent their garments with tears, and implored the people not to believe the spies relating such terrors, for that they themselves had been with them, and had found nothing dreadful in that country, and that it behooved them to trust the promises of God, that these enemies would rather become their prey than prove their destruction. But the stiff-necked race, setting themselves against every good advice, rushed upon them to destroy them. And the Lord, angry on account of these things, exposed a part of the people to be slain by the enemy, while the spies were slain for having excited fear among the people. Chapter 21. There followed the revolt of those who, with Dathan and Abiram as leaders, endeavored to set themselves up against Moses and Aaron, but the earth, opening, swallowed them alive. And not long after, a revolt of the whole people arose against Moses and Aaron, so that they rushed into the tabernacle, which it was not lawful for any but the priests to enter. Then truly Dathan mowed them down in heaps, and all would have perished in a moment, had not the Lord, appeased by the prayers of Moses, turned aside the disaster. Nevertheless, the number of those slain amounted to 714,000. 1. And not long after, as had already often happened, a revolt of the people arose on account of the want of water. Then Moses, instructed by God to strike the rock with his rod, with a kind of trial new familiar to him, since he had already done that before, struck the rock once and again, and thus water flowed out of it. In regard, however, to this point, Moses is said to have been reproved by God, that, through want of faith, he did not bring out the water except by repeated blows. In fact, on account of this transgression, he did not enter the land promised to him, as I shall show farther on. Moses, then, moving away from that place, as he was preparing to lead his company along by the borders of Edom, sent ambassadors to the king to beg liberty to pass by, for he thought it right to abstain from war on account of the connection by blood, for that nation was descended from Esau. But the king despised the suppliants, and refused them liberty to pass by, being ready to contend in arms. Then Moses directed his march towards the mountain, or, keeping clear of the forbidden road, that he might not furnish any cause of war between those related by blood, and on that route he destroyed the king of the nation of the Canaanites. He smote also Sihon the king of the Amorites, and possessed himself of all their towns. He conquered, too, Basan and Balak. He pitched his camp beyond Jordan, not far from Jericho. Then a battle took place against the mighty Anites, and they were conquered and subdued. Moses died, after he had ruled the people 40 years in the wilderness. But the Hebrews are said to have remained in the wilderness for so long a time, with this view, until all those who had not believed the words of God perished. For, except Joshua and Caleb, not one of those who were more than 20 years old on leaving Egypt passed over Jordan. That Moses himself only saw the promised land, and did not reach it, is ascribed to his sin, because, at that time when he was ordered to strike the rock, and bring forth water, he doubted, even after so many proofs of his miraculous power. He died in the 120th year of his age. Nothing is known concerning the place of his burial. Chapter 22. After the death of Moses, the chief power passed into the hands of Joshua the son of Nun, for Moses had appointed him his successor, being a man very like himself in the good qualities which he displayed. Now, at the commencement of his rule, he sent messengers through the camp to instruct the people to make ready supplies of corn, and announces that they should march on the third day. But the river Jordan, a very powerful stream, hindered their crossing, because they did not have a supply of vessels for the occasion, and the stream could not be crossed by fords, as it was then rushing on in full flood. He, therefore, orders the ark to be carried forward by the priests, and that they should take their stand against the current of the river. On this being done, Jordan is said to have been divided, and thus the army was led over on dry ground. There was in these places a town called Jericho, fortified with very strong walls, and not easy to be taken, either by storm or blockade. But Joshua, putting his trust in God, did not attack the city either by arms or force. He simply ordered the Ark of God to be carried round the walls, while the priests walked before the Ark, and sounded trumpets. But when the Ark had been carried round 7 times, the walls and the towers fell, and the city was plundered and burned. Then Joshua is said to have addressed the Lord, and, 1, to have called down a curse upon anyone who should attempt to restore the town which had thus by divine help been demolished. Next, the army was led against Geth, and an ambuscade having been placed behind the city, Joshua, pretending fear, fled before the enemy. On seeing this, those who were in the town, opening the gates, began to press upon the enemy, giving way. Thus, the men who were in ambush took the city, and all the inhabitants were slain, without one escaping. The king also was taken, and suffered capital punishment. Chapter 23. When this became known to the kings of the neighboring nations, they made a warlike alliance to put down the Hebrews by arms. But the Gibeonites, a powerful nation with the wealthy city, spontaneously yielded to the Hebrews, promising to do what they were ordered, and were received under protection, while they were told to bring in wood and water. But their surrender had roused the resentment of the kings of the nearest cities. Accordingly, moving up their troops, they surround with the blockade their town, which was called Gobeth. The town's people, therefore, in their distress, send messengers to Joshua, that he would help them in their state of siege. Accordingly, he by a forced march came upon the enemy at unawares, and many thousands of them were completely destroyed. When day failed the victors, and it seemed that night would furnish protection to the vanquished, the Hebrew general, through the power of his faith, kept off the night, and the day continued, so that there was no means of escape for the enemy. 5 kings who were taken suffered death. By the same attack, neighboring cities also were brought under the power of Joshua, and their kings were cut off. But as it was not my design, studious as I am of brevity, to follow out all these things in order, I only carefully observe this, that 29 kingdoms were brought under the yoke of the Hebrews, and that their territory was distributed among 11 tribes, to man after man. For to the Levites, who had been set apart for the priesthood, no portion was given, in order that they might the more freely serve God. I desire not, in silence, to pass over the example thus set, but I would earnestly bring it forward as well worthy of being read by the ministers of the church. For these seem to me not only unmindful of this precept, but even utterly ignorant of it, Such a lust for possessing has, in this age, seized, like an incurable disease, upon their minds. They gape upon possessions, they cultivate estates, they repose upon gold, they buy and sell, they study gain by every possible means. And even, if any of them seem to have a better aim in life, neither possessing nor trading, still what is much more disgraceful, remaining inactive, they look for gifts, and have corrupted the whole glory of life by their mercenary dispositions, while they present an appearance of sanctity, as if even that might be made a source of gain. But I have gone farther than I intended in expressing my loathing and disgust over the character of our times, and I hasten to return to the subject in hand. The vanquished territory, then, as I have already said, having been divided among the tribes, the Hebrews enjoyed profound peace. Their neighbors, being terrified by war, did not venture to attempt hostilities against those distinguished by so many victories. At the same period died Joshua in the 110th year of his age. I do not express any definite opinion as to the length of time he ruled. The prevalent view, however, is that he was at the head of the Hebrew affairs during 27 years. If this were so, then 3,884 years had elapsed from the beginning of the world to his death. Chapter 24. After the death of Joshua, the people acted without a leader. But a necessity of making war with the Canaanites having arisen, Judah was appointed as general in the war. Under his guidance, matters were successfully conducted. There was the greatest tranquility both at home and abroad. The people ruled over the nations which had either been subdued or received under terms of surrender. Then, as almost always happens in a time of prosperity, becoming unmindful of morals and discipline, they began to contract marriages from among the conquered, and by to adopt foreign customs, even in a sacrilegious manner to offer sacrifice to idols. So pernicious is all alliance with foreigners. God, foreseeing these things long before, had, by a wholesome precept enjoined upon the Hebrews to give over the conquered nations to utter destruction. But the people, through lust for power, preferred, to their own ruin, to rule over those who were conquered. Accordingly, when, forsaking God, they worshipped idols, they were deprived of the divine assistance, and, being vanquished and subdued by the king of Mesopotamia, they paid the penalty of 8 years' captivity, until, with Gotoniel as their leader, they were restored to liberty, and enjoyed independence for 50 years. Then again, corrupted by the evil effect of a lengthened peace, they began to sacrifice to idols. And speedily did retribution fall upon them, thusening. Conquered by Eglon, king of the Moabites, they served him 18 years, until, by a divine impulse, as slew the enemy's king by a stratagem, and, gathering together a hasty army, restored them to liberty by force of arms. The same man ruled the Hebrews in peace for 40 years. To him Semeger succeeded, and he, engaging in battle with the Philistines, secured a decisive victory. But again, the king of the Canaanites, Jabin by name, subdued the Hebrews who were once more serving idols, and exercised over them a grievous tyranny for 20 years, until Deborah, a woman, restored them to their former condition. They had to such a degree lost confidence in their generals, that they were now protected by means of a woman. But it is worthy of notice, that this form of deliverance was arranged beforehand, as a type of the church, by whose aid captivity to the devil is escaped. The Hebrews were 40 years under this leader or judge. And being again delivered over to the Midianites for their sins, they were kept under hard rule, and, being afflicted by the evils of slavery, they implored the divine help. Thus always when in prosperity they were unmindful of the kindnesses of heaven, and prayed to idols, but in adversity they cried to God. Wherefore, as often as I reflect that those people who lay under so many obligations to the goodness of God, being chastised with so many disasters when they sinned, and experiencing both the mercy and the severity of God, yet were by no means rendered better, and that, though they always obtained pardon for their transgressions, Yet they as constantly sin the gain after being pardoned. It can appear nothing wonderful that Christ when he came was not received by them, since already, from the beginning, they were found so often rebelling against the Lord. It is, in fact, far more wonderful that the clemency of God never failed than when they sinned, if only they called upon his name, too. Chapter 25. Accordingly, when the mighty Anites, as we have related above, ruled over them, they turned to the Lord, imploring his wonted tender mercy, and obtained it. There was then among the Hebrews one Gideon by name, a righteous man who was dear and acceptable to God. The angel stood by him as he was returning home from the harvest field, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. But he in a humble voice complained that the Lord was not, one, with him, because captivity pressed sore upon his people, and he remembered with tears the miracles wrought by the Lord, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. Then the angel said, Go, and this spirit in which you have spoken, and deliver the people from captivity. But he declared that he could not, with his, too, feeble strength, since he was a man of very small importance, undertake such a heavy task. The angel, however, persisted in urging him not to doubt that those things could be done which the Lord said. So then, having offered sacrifice, and overthrown the altar which the mighty Anites had consecrated to the image of Baal, he went to his own people, and pitched his camp near the camp of the enemy. But the nation of the Amalekites had also joined themselves to the mighty Anites, while Gideon had not gathered more than an army of 32,000 men. But before the battle began, God said to him that this was a larger number than he wished him to lead forth to the conflict, that, if he did make use of so many, the Hebrews would, in accordance with their usual wickedness, ascribe the result of the fight, not to God, but to their own bravery. He should therefore furnish an opportunity of leaving to those who desired to do so. When this was made known to the people, 22,000 left the camp. But of the 10,000 who had remained, Gideon, as instructed by God, did not retain more than 300, the rest he dismissed from the field. Thus, entering the camp of the enemy in the middle watch of the night, and having ordered all his men to sound their trumpets, he caused great terror to the enemy, and no one had courage to resist, but they made off in a disgraceful flight wherever they could. The Hebrews, however, meeting them in every direction, cut the fugitives to pieces. Gideon pursued the kings beyond Jordan, and having captured them, gave them over to death. In that battle, 120,000 of the enemy are said to have been slain, and 15,000 captured. Then, by universal consent, a proposal was made to Gideon that he should be king of the people. But he rejected this proposal, and preferred rather to live on equal terms with his fellow citizens than to be their ruler. Having, therefore, escaped from their captivity, which had pressed upon the people for 7 years, they now enjoyed peace for a period of 40 years. Chapter 26. But on the death of Gideon, his son Abimelech, whose mother was a concubine, having slain his brothers with the concurrence of a multitude of wicked men, and especially by the help of the chief men among the Shechemites, took possession of the kingdom. And he, being harassed by civil strife, while he pressed hard upon his people by war, attempted to storm a certain tower, into which they, after losing the town, had betaken themselves by flight. But, as he approached the place without sufficient caution, he was slain by a stone which a woman threw, after holding the government for 3 years. To him succeeded Thola, who reigned 22 years. After him came Jerob, and after he had held the chief place for a like period of 22 years, the people, forsaking God, gave themselves up to idols. On this account, the Israelites were subdued by the Philistines and Ammonites, and remained under their power for 18 years. At the end of this period, they began to call upon God, but the divine answer to them was that they should rather invoke the aid of their images, for that he would no longer extend his mercy to those who had been so ungrateful. But they with tears confessed their fault, and implored forgiveness, while, throwing away their idols, and earnestly calling upon God, They obtained the divine compassion, though it had been at first refused. Accordingly, under Jephthah as general, they assembled in great numbers for the purpose of recovering their liberty by arms, having first sent ambassadors to King Ahmed, begging that, content with his own territories, he should keep from warring against them. But he, far from declining battle, at once drew up his army. Then Jephthah, before the signal for battle was given, is said to have vowed that, if he obtained the victory, the person who first met him as he returned home, should be offered to God as a sacrifice. Accordingly, on the enemy being defeated, as Jephthah was returning home, his daughter met him, having joyfully gone forth with drums and dances to receive her father as a conqueror. Then Jephthah, being overwhelmed with sorrow, rent his clothes in his affliction, and made known to his daughter the stringent obligation of his vow. But she, with the courage not to be expected from a woman, did not refuse to die. She only begged that her life might be spared for 2 months, that she might before dying have the opportunity of seeing the friends of her own age. This being done, she willingly returned to her father, and fulfilled a vow to God. Jephthah held the chief power for 6 years. To him his Ibn succeeded, and having ruled in tranquility for 7 years, then died. After him, Ilan the Zebulunite ruled for 10 years, and Abdon also for 8 years, but, as their rule was peaceful, they performed nothing which history might record. Chapter 27. The Israelites yet again turned to idols, and, being deprived of the divine protection, were subdued by the Philistines, and paid the penalty of their unfaithfulness by 40 years of captivity. At that time, Samson is related to have been born. His mother, after being long barren, had a vision of an angel, and was told to abstain from wine, and strong drink, and everything unclean, for that she should bear a son who would be the restorer of liberty to the Israelites, and their avenger upon their enemies. He, with unshorn locks, is said to have been possessed of marvelous strength, so much so that he tore to pieces with his hands a lion which met him in the way. He had a wife from the Philistines, and when she, in the absence of her husband, had entered into marriage with another, he, through indignation on account of his wife being thus taken from him, wrought destruction to her nation. Trusting in God and his own strength, he openly brought disaster on those hitherto victors. For, to catching 300 foxes, he tied burning torches to their tails, and sent them into the fields of the enemy. It so happened that at the time the harvest was ripe, and thus the fire easily caught, while the vines and olive trees were burnt to ashes. He was thus seen to have avenged the injury done him in taking away his wife, by a great loss inflicted on the Philistines. And they, enraged at this disaster, destroyed by fire the woman who had been the cause of so great a calamity, along with her house and her father. But Samson, thinking himself as yet but poorly avenged, ceased not to harass the heathen race with all sorts of evil devices. Then the Jews, being compelled to it, handed him over as a prisoner to the Philistines. But, when thus handed over, he burst his bonds and seizing the jaw, bone, one, of an ass, which chance offered him as a weapon, he slew 1,000 of his enemies. And, as the heat of the day grew violent, and he began to suffer from thirst, he called upon God, and water flowed forth from the bone which he held in his hand. Chapter 28. At that time Samson ruled over the Hebrews, the Philistines having been subdued by the prowess of a single individual. They, therefore, sought his life by stratagem, not erring to assail him openly, and with this view they bribe his wife, whom he had received after what has been stated took place, to betray to them wherein the strength of her husband laid. She attacked him with female blandishments, and, after he had deceived her, and staved off her purpose for a long time, she persuaded him to tell that his strength was situated in his hair. Presently she cut off his hair stealthily while he was asleep, and thus delivered him up to the Philistines, for although he had often before been given up to them, they had not been able to hold him fast. Then they, having put out his eyes, bound him with fetters, and cast him into prison. But, In course of time, his hair which had been cut off began to grow again, and his strength to return with it. And now Samson, conscious of his recovered strength, was only waiting for an opportunity of righteous revenge. The Philistines had a custom on their festival days of producing Samson as if to make a public spectacle of him, while they mocked their illustrious captive. Accordingly, on a certain day, when they were making a feast in honor of their idol, they ordered Samson to be exhibited. Now, the temple, in which all the people and all the princes of the Philistines feasted, rested on two pillars of remarkable size, and Samson, when brought out, was placed between these pillars. Then he, having first called upon the Lord, seized his opportunity, and threw down the pillars. The whole multitude was overwhelmed in the ruins of the building, and Samson himself died along with his enemies, not without having avenged himself upon them, after he had ruled the Hebrews 20 years. To him Simacher succeeded, of whom Scripture relates nothing more than that simple fact. For I do not find that even the time when his rule came to an end is mentioned, and I see that the people was for some time without a leader. Accordingly, when civil war arose against the tribe of Benjamin, Judah was chosen as a temporary leader in the war. But most of those who have written about these times note that his rule was only for a single year. On this account, many pass him by altogether, and place Eli, the priest, immediately after Samson. We shall leave that point doubtful, as one not positively ascertained. Chapter 29. About these times, civil war, as we have said, had broken out, and the following was the cause of the tumult. A certain Levite was on a journey along with his concubine, and, constrained by the approach of night, he took up his abode in the town of Gobah, which was inhabited by men of Benjamin. A certain old man having kindly admitted him to hospitality, the young man of the town surrounded the guest, with the view of subjecting him to improper treatment. After being much chidden by the old man, and with difficulty dissuaded from their purpose, they at length received for their wanton sport the person of his concubine as a substitute for his own, and they thus spared the stranger, but abused her through the whole night, and only restored her on the following day. But she, whether from the injury their vile conduct had inflicted on her, or from shame, I do not venture to assert, died on again seeing, one, her husband. Then the Levite, in testimony of the horrible deed, divided her members into 12 parts, and distributed them among the 12 tribes that indignation at such conduct might the more readily be excited in them all. And when this became known to all of them, the other 11 tribes entered into a warlike confederacy against Benjamin. In this war, Judah, as we have said, was the general. But they had bad success in the first 2 battles. At length, however, in the third, the Benjamites were conquered and cut off to a man. Thus the crime of a few was punished by the destruction of a multitude. These things also are contained in the book of Judges, the books of Kings follow. But to me who am following the succession of the years, and the order of the dates, the history does not appear marked by strict chronological accuracy. For, since after Samson as judge, there came Samegar, and a little later the history certifies that the people lived without judges, Eli the priest is related in the books of Kings to have also been a judge, too, but the scripture has not stated how many years there were between Eli and Samson. I see that there was some portion of time between these two, which is left in obscurity. But, from the day of the death of Joshua up to the time at which Samson died, there are reckoned 418 years, and from the beginning of the world, 4,303. Nevertheless, I am not ignorant that others differ from this reckoning of ours, but I am at the same time conscious that I have, not without some care, set forth the order of events in the successive years, a thing hitherto left in obscurity, until I have fallen upon these times, concerning which I confess that I have my doubts. Now I shall go on to what remains.